to Piercing the Veil on bbsradio.com with your hosts Jordan and Corey, and new guests appearing weekly. During the show, Jordan and Corey will pierce the many veils of illusion to reveal the universal truths and tools for negotiation inherent to success in one's daily life, including but not limited to 1. Multidimensional wordsmithing. 2. Mastering and commanding negotiations. 3. Constructive trust and wealth preservation. And 4. Spirituality. Pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.
All right. Hello, world. Welcome to another live episode of Piercing the Veil. We haven't had one in a couple weeks. I know you've been listening to reruns. I appreciate that. Hopefully you enjoyed those. Corey and I are both on the show today. We've been pretty busy running around doing a lot of travel plans and business and working with clients, things of that nature. I believe the last live show we had was with Mike Kerbin, also known as Confucius. He's a very famous psychic reader. He's read a lot of celebrities and a lot of famous people and politicians, and does that stuff over the phone. We're going to try to have him back on next week or in the week after that. But for right now, today, our show is going to be basically speaking about the misunderstandings, Western or socialized misunderstandings behind conception, generalities of, you know, birthing and life and things like that, what it really means, and what are the real time frames for when the soul enters a body inside of the mother's womb. I think a lot of people have questions about that. There's people on both sides of the issue. And I know, Corey, you've done some research into some of those things. But the real key issue here is to understand that everything is a contract. It's at a base level, it's all an agreement between some item and some conscious sentient being, or two conscious sentient beings together. It just depends what you're dealing with in that particular moment, but it is all an agreement. So we'll get right into that, and I just want to thank Corey for being back on the show this week. Corey, how are you doing today?
Good, man. Everything's great. Good to be here. Good to hear your voice.
Likewise. I do, before we get into our topic, I do want to get a little bit into current events, world affairs. Anybody that's paying attention knows that the elections in the U.S. are coming up within, I guess, like 20 days now, 20 days from now. And whether you support no candidates or one candidate or the other, I would bring this to your attention that Hillary Clinton, and I'll say this in front of the world, been verified, Hillary Clinton and her husband Bill Clinton are tied and behind a trail of bodies going back 20 plus years. Six or seven people, I believe, already tied to the Clintons have died within the past 6 months. I think about half of those were willing and ready and set to testify against her in her email case. So that just right there should be noted right off the bat, regardless of what you think about some other candidate saying something in a bus somewhere in the presence of males, being vulgar and ridiculous. You know, if you're going to get butthurt about what somebody says, you deserve to be controlled, okay? That's all I'm sorry, but you fucking deserve it. You deserve to be a slave. If you are going to be triggered by what somebody else says, there's no hope for you unless you make that change, okay? Now, action's a little bit different. You can try to not be triggered by actions, and up to a certain point, you have a responsibility to govern yourself responsibly. And at that point, when it's crossed, then somebody's encroaching upon your rights and your sovereignty and your personal bubble and your ethics and your morals and so on and so forth. So when actions occur, such as Bill Clinton raping more than one person and settling those cases out of court, and all those people were at the second presidential debate sitting in the first row, don't know if any of you noticed that. But when you have people that are involved in this, and then Hillary Clinton shaming these women and defending rapists and laughing about getting them off the hook, and then not to name all the recent stuff and all the crazy Clinton Foundation tied to, you know, she just moved apparently $1.5 billion of the Clinton Foundation funds over to Qatar, who is established and known to be providing support to ISIS, just like the Western countries. So, you know, I hate to drop these bombs on you and get off topic. I do digress a little bit, but it's very important considering the fact that we're at a make or break point in our country's relationship with each other, right? We're either going to cease to be a nation of any semblance whatsoever of what it used to be, or we're going to have somebody who, albeit is probably pretty fucked up personally, but none of you, including myself, are without issues. So literally, when somebody's like trying to judge the candidate, oh, well, he said this, I'm not going to vote for him. How much fucked up shit have you done to people that are close to you and your family? And if you ever ran for office, do you think they'd vote for you? No. Stop being a fucking hypocrite.
Right. And how much have you said?
Yeah.
I have a conversation that if it got public.
That's right. So I look at what's logical. Yes, Trump is a Jesuit agent. I believe that's the truth. But there are factions that were once considered negative that have moved toward a moderate side. And now because of positive actions on the light forces and resistance military and positive intelligence agency factions that have been working tirelessly for the past 30 years, because of those efforts, all of that is coming to a head, along with help from off-planet and extraterrestrial civilizations that practice a strict non-interference policy. All that stuff is coming to a head right now. I truly believe that Donald Trump, regardless of what you believe about him personally, is self-funding his own campaign and would only run if he knew he was being protected from assassination, which means that there are positive elements that are against the negative elements running our country and the world governments right now that support him in coming in and cleaning house, however that shows up. I could fucking eat my words. I could very well be wrong, but everything is pointing towards one of the candidates being supported and self-funded and supported by positive intelligence agencies, and the other candidate is totally being targeted and attacked by the people that once guarded the secret information for all these fucks. Okay? So, thank you for indulging me. Now we get to the topic of our show. Corey, thank you very much. I mean, if you want to just tag something in there real quick, any of your thoughts on that, then we'll move on.
I see Clinton, Bush, Obama, and then potentially Clinton as just kind of one big,
that's right,
neocon warmongering. Yeah, there's a lot of saber rattling going on around right now. We know that war is good for economies. We know that countries, when they get into trouble, tend to go to war. Because as the U.S. Admiral once said, I don't recall his name, but he wrote a document called War is a Racket. You can Google that, War is a Racket. And I don't know. I think there's a lot of saber rattling with Russia going on right now, in particular via Syria, for example.
Yeah. I'll say this. I don't think there will ever be all-out nuclear war. It will be prevented. There's just too many verified reports from nuclear silo operators and high-level Pentagon and CIA officials and people that were willing to go before Congress and testify from the Disclosure Project, Corey. And they're saying what you're saying is that there's a lot of saber rattling, but the buttons, even if they were pressed, wouldn't work because they've seen multiple times actual UFOs, we won't call them UFOs anymore, actual craft come over their underground silos and shoot a particle beam down and disable their warheads and their launch mechanisms, right?
Yeah,
this has happened multiple times. So yeah, there's no reason to believe it won't happen again.
Yeah, if you consider the amount of close calls, accidents, I mean, Chernobyl was a big thing. I would tend to believe that the fact that there hasn't been a nuclear war or some really major nuclear accident of some sort or another, I think that might be the exception with the sort of universal hands-off type scenario. You know, I think whatever powers that be out there, be they spiritual or extraterrestrial or what have you, some more advanced intelligences and so forth, I think they're drawing the line on this one. You know, there'll be no, I don't believe, I could be wrong, but I don't believe that there would be any serious nuclear conflagration.
No,
I just think the odds of having happened already, and the close calls and the launches and, reports of intervention, I think it's something that would have certainly happened by now.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's never going to happen at this point. I will say this. There's either going to be a huge intervention in our entire global political and socioeconomic system by these races, which is like an all-out, okay, this enough is enough. You know, we've given them enough time. This entire species is going to fucking destroy itself if we don't interfere at this point. Let's negotiate with the central source or God or whatever you want to call it to, you know, everything's a negotiation. It is. Right. Like, it's just asinine that people don't understand that everything that happens that you know of on this planet, law, negotiations, agreements, emotions, feelings, socioeconomics, economics, chemistry, physics, all these different things, excuse me, all of these are just a small, tiny part of what exists in the universe. Everything exists out of the physical reality just as it does in the physical reality. It's just a higher energetic form of it. You understand? It's just fractals. So it's not that hard to fathom that you can make agreements with entire fucking celestial bodies who are consciousness. Like people call Earth Gaia. There's Gaia Sophia. There's a reason for that. There's no reason why you can't make a contract with God, right? There is some sort of agreement or terms or guidelines by which you have entered a body and been able to maintain your body and not be hit by a bus or whatever could have happened to you, right? There's got to be something that allows you life. Therefore, based on the understanding that there does exist a foundational document or agreement or something that allows you this life or interaction with consciousness, there too, there is also other agreements that you can make independently of your own accord. It's just, it's evidence. Like, you can't see the wind, but you feel it on your face. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, Speaking of life and agreement.
Yeah, I was just going to say, speaking of life. Yeah.
That's right. You know, let's talk about the mysteries of conception and maybe a few unorthodox cases before we get into the details of what regularly happens. Everybody, I'm sure, that's listening, and thank you for listening, by the way. Everyone, I'm sure, is aware of Jesus. And whatever your beliefs on that, whether he was real, a mythological figure, representation of the sun, you know, all these different types of things, doesn't matter. What does matter is that the events that were described surrounding his birth were nothing short of divine. So what I'm talking about is Immaculate Conception. Corey, you know what I'm talking about, right? The Immaculate Conception, no fertilization of the egg by a male sperm. No sexual intercourse. The woman just gets pregnant spontaneously. This actually does happen in some species of animal. There are species of animal that are hermaphrodite, which have both sex organs and can self-fertilize. Typically, you'll find those in lizards, I believe, and monitors and all sorts of other things like that. But the human body possesses the same capability, right? And my understanding is that everything physical is an imprint of an energetic, of a template that's energetic. And if you fix the template or you heal the physical disease. Well, in the same way, if you acquire the template, you acquire the ability to manifest the physical DNA. So at some point, that woman's body must have manifested the physical DNA of the sperm of perhaps, I don't know, Corey, do you want to touch on this? Maybe her divine masculine? Maybe everybody's a half female, half male. And most of us are born into a body which polarizes us, where we have to learn balance again, to where we're both female and male. So in the case of the Immaculate Conception, Mary Magdalene or whatever, or not Magdalene, whoever, Mary, the Virgin Mary, if you will, that person, whoever she was, somehow experienced a manifestation of a divine masculine imprint or template. And whether or not that was hers, whether or not it was some entity, right, that was masquerading as God, whether or not it was actually the source itself that said, hey, I'm going to drop a part of myself directly in without going through all these filters. Mm-hmm. Who knows? What do you think about that, Corey?
Well, I think that there are documented cases that exist that I'm sure could be Googled and checked of purported Immaculate Conception that exists in the historic record outside of the story of Yeshua. I think it does happen. Also, too, I mean, there's all kinds of cells in the body, right, that are differentiated and so forth. And you know, I sort of, from what I understand of that process, where it's mixing of chromosomes and so on and so forth, I don't see how it would be so surprising that a human zygote or an ovum or something like that, due to some kind of energetic manipulation or spiritual intervention or something like that, could not be to become fertile or to become another being. It doesn't seem that far fetched to me.
That's perfectly logical. You know,
yeah.
It happens all the time. What about let's see, everybody. Oh my God! Everybody that argues with me is like, "There's no telekinetic powers. There's no this. There's no that. You can't do that. That's not real. There's nothing actually happening." I'm like, "Well, every time you think about something and then you speak what you just thought about, where's that connection coming from? It started from the immaterial. Now it's material.
Right.
Right. So if just because you don't have the expanded skill to manifest something physically, as opposed to just your voice, doesn't mean it's not there. And so I just...
A lot of that's just about belief. We're limited by beliefs.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. I just always bring them back to the... it's losing me right now. The placebo effect. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that, guys. The placebo effect is a perfect example. Spontaneous healing through pure belief,
mm-hmm.
right? And typically belief that's created without the ego, meaning the ego is bypassed. The belief of the ego that this isn't possible, or the belief of the ego that these medicines, everybody my whole life has told me that this poisonous medicine or this pill or magic pill or whatever will cure this. So if I believe it hard enough and I take it, my results are accordingly. It does what I'm believing it to do. You can do that with your food as well. But again, we're sort of shifting off topic. So we'll come back and to what you said, the zygote, right? Or the rapidly multiplying cell formation that results from the combination of the male and the female.
Right.
Where exactly does that life begin? Where exactly does the inhabiting of that particular cell formation, where does that come from?
Right.
And I maintain that it's just like yourself, the way that you're connected. See, this is logic here. If you study an adult body, and that adult body grew from a child body, or grew from an egg, right? Then the connection to the ethereal that the adult body maintains, albeit conditioned, or diminished, or changed, in some substantive way, is the very exact same connection that a soul had to the zygote while it was in the womb, right? So in the same way that your soul is connected to your body and you can experience, you can feel pain, you can feel this, you can experience what's going on around you in the physical world, I truly believe that the zygote, or whatever stage it's in, the embryo at that point, can be connected. And this is what I call the negotiation period. And I talk about this with some of my friends. Corey, I don't know if I spoke to you about this yet. I truly believe that the first trimester is a negotiation period.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In that the fetus is connected to a soul by a link, just like the adult is connected, you know, when you dream and you pop out of your body. And the soul is negotiating with the mother and the parents as to, am I really going to enter this body and go through this? And it's still making its own agreements as to what it's going to go through in its life. But its origination
right.
point is the first starting clause of the contract for its life. And that is, who's going to bring me into this world?
Mm.
Right? And so the mother is also making agreement, whether it be subconsciously or unconsciously, am I going to bring you into this world? And who are you? What level are you on? What level of access or consciousness are you on? And how much am I going to have to guide you and teach you based on that, right? Because there's some super kids that are being born right now, some
mm-hmm.
with powers already, telekinetic and telepathy and all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
So my understanding is simply this. The first 3 months are typically where a miscarriage will occur for
yeah.
a reason,
Yes.
Just like I've had a near-death experience pretty much almost every single year of my life, and have been dead before for a couple minutes. That is a contract that I took over when I walked into the body at age 11. You guys can listen to past shows if you want to hear me talk about that. But it's a contract that I had. And so I think it was just an extended contract throughout the life as opposed to the first trimester. So my theory is, for the first trimester, that is the finalization of performance. So like at the end of the first trimester, it's sort of locked in, barring any unforeseen circumstance or exceptional agreements or renegotiations, right? You know, mom gets in an accident, God forbid, baby dies or whatever. So that baby is going to be there for the most part, like I said, without exceptions, for the rest of their life with that person. What do you think about that?
Mm-hmm. Resonates with me, man. And particularly what you said about, you know, most miscarriages happening in that period of time. Even in the whole abortion scenario, right?
I was just going there. That's why I love you.
Yeah. Typically, there seems to be, okay, well, if we're going to do this process, then yeah, okay, let's do it in the negotiation period in the first trimester when the thing is really, really small. Right? And it hasn't locked into, you know, there's some kind of a common sense, you know, the argument
That's
about
right.
the later term abortions and so forth, that they are more egregious, for example, than earlier term abortions. I don't know why that is. Maybe the thing is more developed, maybe it's more bigger, maybe people think it's more a fully grown human. The larger it gets in the womb, that there might be some just obvious common sense stuff about that. But like most practices in human society, they have some basis on some long-standing spiritual reality. And so that kind of fits in with, you know, your first trimester hypothesis, in my view.
That's right. No, I totally agree with you. There's just basic. If it's basic common sense, it's self-evident. If it's self-evident, it's either a fractal or a whole of the law of the universe, meaning that shit is a constant. For all you physics buffs out there, it's in math people, it's a constant. Okay? It's a constant factor upon which variables coalesce and swirl around and all of this. So if it's common sense that if you put a gun to your head and you pull the trigger, 9 times out of 10, you're probably going to die, you just know that you don't put a fucking gun to your head and pull the trigger, right? It's common sense that if you step off a cliff, 9 times out of 10, you're going to go splat. You just know, and the body has instincts to tell you, oh my God, dude, what are you doing, right? So common sense equals self-evidence equals constants of the universe, and listen to your common sense. And thank you for bringing up that point, Corey. Yeah, we're going to go to commercial real quick. When we get back, I want to speak with you a little bit about the actual substance of the negotiation and the level of the soul that comes into the embryo. So, you know, how do you go about negotiating that? What really dictates the offering demographic? What I mean by that is, we'll get into this a little bit later, but when the moment of orgasm at the conception point happens, so when the male and the female orgasm or whatever happens during that time, the release of energy and the semen, the mind state of the parents at that time is going to dictate the level or range of entities you can invite or souls that you can invite into the womb. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a second. So we're going to go to our first commercial and we'll see you when we get back.
Having trouble with harassing collection agencies? Creditors breathing down your neck? Feeling like you're drowning in debt? The Guild of Tactical Wordsmiths is here to help you now. GTAC is an ecclesiastical guild association of aggressive debt assassins who can eliminate your debts, free negative marks from your credit report, and get you compensated for unfair collection practices or emotional damages. They have a proven track record of success and sustainable results, which will have creditors and debt collectors shaking in their boots. This is not your typical credit repair or verification. GTAC uses proven techniques and negotiation tactics to completely eliminate your debt or conflict, remove negative marks from your credit reports, and in most cases, GTAC will retrieve compensation for you. Call for your free 15-minute consultation today at 214-290-3053.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Piercing the Veil. Today's October 16th, Sunday. We are 10 months into this radio show. I think this is like our 30-something episode. And today we're talking about the mysteries of conception. Where does life really begin? What does that really look like in the embryo stages and in the womb of the mother? And then we're going to get a little bit into home birthing. But for right now, what I want to speak about is when the male and the female orgasm and the release of energy is there, you're creating, like the very force of creation, the very essence of life itself is happening at that moment. When the release of the semen, the ejaculation is just part of it, the woman's receptivity and releasing of barriers and allowing that into her womb and allowing those two things to interact, that's another part of it. But the level and the mind state of the level of consciousness and mind state of the parents is crucial. Hopefully, listeners, you're lucky enough to be consciously trying to have a baby. Understand? But if you're not consciously, specifically intending by that act to have a child, you can have some safeguards or some barriers in place whereby either the semen doesn't interact with the egg in a typical fashion and thereby you don't have a child. And it's basically a spiritual, I'm brain farting here, Corey. What is that when you prevent pregnancy?
Contraception.
Thank you. Spiritual contraception, if you will. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. I've had examples, friends and so forth, who were trying to have children. And, basically, as it turns out, shit wasn't right in their relationship. Or with either one of them was somehow not prepared in a way that they thought they might be. And that the universe or the soul and the individual soul who may have or may not have contracted to manifest through that particular couple said, I'm going to bail. Right. I'll check you next time.
Yeah, so exactly. You either have the spiritual contraception of your own intent, or you have it based on the fact that the other end's like, no, I don't want any part of you guys, sorry, right?
I thought it was a good idea, but upon closer inspection, you guys don't have your shit. In order for me to fulfill my contract.
Exactly. And then the other side of the coin would be basically what we were talking about earlier, which is if there is a conception, first of all, for it to happen, you have to have prospects. So at the moment of orgasm, prospects based on your level of what you're thinking, right, and your consciousness at that point, even if you don't think anything at all, your subconscious is always running. So whatever is really in your mind that day or in that moment or in that time period is what's going to open instantly. It's an instant thing. Time is irrelevant in the spiritual realms, most of them. It instantly opens. It's like a bulletin. Beep, 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 beep. Hey, all you guys, you want to enter a physical body? Beep, 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 beep. It's like a Morse code that goes out to the universe and all the dimensions, and it says, hey, I'm open for negotiations. And from the time that that semen is expelled from the man's body to the time that that woman accepts it, embraces it, and her body starts fertilizing, that's not the correct term, but starts accepting the fertilization, during that time period, there's a selection process going on. How do I know this? Because I just know it. I've just got information channeled into me. I just have these things that, like I said, that are common sense, self-evident, and I will never, try to accept that it's not true because it just feels too right. In the same way that I won't go kill somebody that has done nothing to me and is not threatening my life because it doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. Understand? But I digress again. So, anyways, that prospect region or area or range of prospects is determined, like we said, by the level of consciousness of the people. So if you intend to have a super baby, probably want to deal with your shit before you try to have that baby and do the physical act of trying to have the baby, right? Because then you're going to be open to these higher developed spiritual entities that when they come into the body, some of you listeners might have one as your children. You can tell there is something off about these kids. There's something different, and in a good way, not a bad way. They're super, like they come out of the womb and they're staring at you, like looking right through you.
Right,
you know what
I know
mean?
You.
And yeah, and then their baby bottle starts floating or scooting away from them, you know, 3 months in. And there's people that just haven't come forward because they're scared, right? And rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
That have these super kids that are coming in right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, if you're going to have children, you better do it consciously because this is a fucked up world. And you need strong children. You don't need to be trying to figure out your dysfunctions and die consciously. And also having the burden of trying to not take care of, but guide another dysfunctional soul, because at the moment of climax between you and your partner, you are very old paradigmish and not thinking about higher spiritually evolved concepts.
Mm.
Sorry.
Mm.
Too bad. Now you got to deal with that. Nobody wants
that. Yeah, humans definitely, the ante is up. You know, we are animals for sure, right? So nature is operating, you know, on automatic, if you will, just like it is operating on every other plant and animal and creature on the earth. However, we do have this extra thing, this, I don't know, supercomputer or something for our brain or something that allows us to tap into different types of this different areas of the frequency spectrum, right?
That's right.
So that's where that consciousness comes in. That's where the mental state comes in. That's where our awareness, intent, and so forth. You know, some of those, call them divine principles, if you will, that we've been imbued with. Sort of somewhat different aspects of consciousness. Not to say that animals and plants aren't conscious, but we seem to have been imbued with some extra stuff, and I think there's a lot of confusion around that, right? We don't really know how to manage that.
You're totally right. Nobody knows what the hell they're doing with that stuff, except for a few gifted people. and listen, you know, I'll say this. It's all available to you. Every power, everything you could ever dream of, you just need to practice manifesting it over a long period of time. And even with things like telekinesis, I can. If you want to see this for yourself, come find me. I'm in Dallas-Fort Worth. No tricks, nothing. I will put one crystal in the palm of my hand, and I'll take another crystal, point at it, and it takes a couple seconds, but I can roll that fucking crystal across the palm of my hand. And not just me. Every single person that I've had do it at some point can either at least make it wobble, and it's not their hand tremoring or moving or anything. You can literally see this thing moving, right? And all you're doing is accessing the biomagnetic field and energetic field of your body, amplifying it, and working in partnership with the crystal. So in the same way that this conception and this selection process during negotiation period of the first trimester is a cooperation, so too is the accessing of your divine powers that you're talking about, that extra something, Corey. You have to cooperate with it. You can't force it. You can't command it. You can't try to control it. And even psychics and renowned people who are known for telekinesis and stuff, they will tell you that the act of making an object move is no more control than, you know, the ant can control somebody keeping it from stepping on it or keeping from being stepped on, right? You can't control that object. Everything has a consciousness. But when you ask it and you negotiate with it and you work in tandem with it and the energy that you send towards it has terms encoded in it, which is, hey, hi, how are you? I recognize you as a consciousness, even though you're a small, tiny rock that can't talk or visibly, you know, look alive. I know you're alive. I recognize you. I acknowledge you. And you will feel something back like, hey, I acknowledge you. And this little tiny rock that's been bombarded with solar and cosmic energy for however many thousands of years is literally fucking talking to you, albeit not in the way that you would have expected with words, but you can feel it acknowledge you back. And at that point, it's easy. You want to move it forward. You want to move it backwards. You know, do what you want. And so in the same way, you can talk and negotiate with these souls that you're selecting for the fertilization process. And so the mother, if you are intentionally childbirthing, the mother can lay back there and receive the seed. You guys can get as dirty as you want with this in your heads, but lay back, receive the seed, and consciously contemplate what that binding or joining really means, and then actually send out a call to, hey, these are the traits, and this is the level that I'm seeking. This is my my boundaries and my guidelines for the level of soul that I want to enter my body, or even, hey, I'm not ready yet. I want this, you know, I'm talking to my DNA right now and talking to any potential prospects. Please don't enter. You can do anything you want. Now, let's talk about, we've beat this dead horse. Okay, I think you guys all know what me and Corey are talking about. Let's go to birthing now. Let's get practical. Should you have your birth in a hospital? Should you have it at home? You know, something in between? I vote hybrid. That's what I do for everything. I vote something in between, right? You know, we only have an hour, so we can't really go into a whole discussion about why the fuck you should not have your children at a U.S. hospital. But just a few highlights for you. I don't feel like being charged $700 for something called skin-to-skin contact. The act of letting the baby lay and rest on the mother's breast after birth is charged for $600 because they can't afford to. Everything is rushed. They have to rush the labor. They have to rush the contractions. They have to rush this, right? Everything is rushed in the hospital. Because they have to, they need more rooms. They need, you know, they need to get these people in and out, in and out. Not to mention the fact that they pad the bill with other stuff, and then they take your baby from you, physically remove your baby, albeit they'll probably say, oh, is it a cute baby? Let's just go clean the, we'll go clean them up, right? They go clean your baby up, and then those forms, those entrance forms that the dad unwittingly signed when they first got there and the mom was in labor and they're in no state of mind, that they're legally at a disability to contract at that point. But that makes no difference. But those forms have already paved the way and given consent for them to vaccinate the fuck out of your children. That perfect, beautiful child with its perfect, strong, healthy immune system that can fucking handle anything, literally is meant to handle the Black Plague. Babies are meant to handle anything. To a certain extent, obviously, you want to keep a direct contact and things like that, but their immune system, if you support it, in addition to what it already is meant to handle anything. The human body adapts to everything. Now, those babies are immediately destroyed, Corey. They take them and they pump them full of vaccines, as many as they can get in at one time without, they're like, oh, there's an acceptable level of risk. You know, these side effects where your baby has skin rashes and it's crying and it's in pain that you don't even know how bad the pain is because it can't fucking talk to you. But it's okay. Don't worry about that. So there's, I'm not even going to get into the rest. I get so excited and upset and pissed off about this. Corey, what do you think about the whole hospital birthing side of things?
Well, I don't know. I'll go to the flip side. Whereas, you know, I know of people who had natural births and so forth. They have the doulas. They've done the preparations and so forth. These are people who are typically a little more conscious, right? So they've kind of have an awareness on the contracting side. You know, they've done the things that you mentioned, right? This is the type of entity that I would like to have, you know, to come out of me and so on and so forth. And I know people who have had home birth, natural birth, and things get tricky. Things get complicated. Then it's like, okay, let's go to the hospital now. Right? If they get to a point where, okay, this is not working out. We need an extra level of help, so on and so forth. But like me, hospitals, I'm like, stay away from them, period.
You know, more people die from hospital visits than actual flu cases.
Well, it's the number one cause of death in the United States.
Medical malpractice.
Medical malpractice or under that,
prescription?
Misdiagnosis of pharmaceuticals.
That's right.
Misapplication of pharmaceuticals, contraindications, and so forth, reactions. And it's the highest cause of death is basically going into a hospital and something going wrong. Oftentimes that involves infections that you can't get anywhere else but in a fucking hospital.
I personally have an ex-girlfriend whose sister, it's sad to talk about, but whose sister went in for cancer chemo treatment and ended up dying within 24 hours of her second visit because of some blood infection that was introduced by the needles they were using.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, you know, great for trauma. You know, you got fucking, your bones are crushed, you know, your arm, your elbows bent backwards, shit like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I give you that one. Go to the hospital.
Skull fractures, and you know, they're good at stitching the 3D thing together, you know, after it's been damaged. You know, I get that. You know, I just had a friend of mine, man, guy, he's new in town, and he's staying at my place, and he thought he had food poisoning one morning. And then he comes in, you know, he's got guys coming to help him work, and he steps out of the house, and he steps on a piece of rebar that's sticking up out of the ground. It punctures his foot, you know. So he's all sick. You know, he's got this crazy wound in the bottom of his foot. And as it turns out, it probably wasn't food poisoning. He had some hernia stuff, so it was probably an infection related to that. And you know, so we dosed him up with some H2O water and some colloidal silver, and we cleaned out the wound, peroxide. you know, got him some probiotics. You know, a little bit later, you know, dressed up the wound a little bit. Next day he was fine. 2 days later it was like nothing ever happened. His foot's healing up fine and everything. Meanwhile, everyone's like, you've got to go to the hospital, you've got to do
you're
this.
You're going to get tetanus, you're going to die. Right. I have stepped, I live at an eco village right now. I've lived there for 3 years, and you know about that, Corey. I have stepped on more nails in my life at that place than I've ever heard about or had myself in my entire life. I've stepped on about 7 or 8 nails during that time period, and each time, and some of them have touched bone, that's how deep they went. Each time, a little bit of hydrogen peroxide, take a little bit of internal hydrogen dropped in my water, and some colloidal silver, boom, it's gone. Like, the whole thing is gone, the pain is gone within 3-4 days. It's still a little sore and tender, but the major, like, throbbing pain is not there. So, like you said, unless you broke your bones, or you got hit in the head, or you fell off your motorcycle.
Or you got one.
Okay, so it's safe to say that we're both on the home birthing kick. That's the side of the coin we want to fall on.
I would say so. I mean, look, people have been birthing children for, how long have we been around? Always been.
Yeah, if you want to get technical, hundreds of thousands of years.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, for some people, it's only for some people, though. You know, who are prepared for that. Other people aren't really living their life like that, right?
Yeah, and those are those people that tend to forget that everything natural in this world somehow has been overlaid with some sort of veil of modernism or convenience or artificiality that's just, it's icky. It's not natural. Now, if that was a technological advance that really truly improves and is sustainable and doesn't cost or waste or isn't unjustifiable, then great. I'm all for that improvement. But women have been having natural birth and the natural state of things and the natural baby without the immunizations for hundreds of thousands of years. You cannot look at me and say, oh, what about the hundreds of different types of diseases that can occur during childbirth? Number one, the parents are energetically in a state to receive that disease and be a part of it. Number two, the state of artificiality and modernism has weakened the immune system of every single person carrying a child to the extent that is a possibility now wherein it wouldn't have been earlier. And number three, if those people had the knowledge, even after their DNA had been damaged and they were susceptible to getting those diseases while pregnant, if those people had the knowledge to meditate on it and talk to their DNA, they could change it. But yet, conveniently, all three of those things are not talked about. They're not educated about with women and childbirth and none of that shit. You won't ever find it. In the same way, and we'll just end on this because this is important to me. In the same way you talked about abortion briefly, which is a huge hot button trigger topic for people. You know what? I don't care. I'm going there. In the same way you talk about that, I think that if people had the knowledge of this contracting, if they had the knowledge of, you know, hey, I can let this child go and it will just manifest in a miscarriage in this first trimester, they wouldn't have to get to that. Even in rape cases, right? Because that's the big thing about abortion. They're like, I'm pro-life because what if I'm raped and then I'm forced, or I'm pro-choice because what if I'm raped and I'm forced to have that rapist child? First of all, I'm not even going to touch the experience that you had because you had it. I didn't have it. I can't say it was bad, good. You know, it didn't teach you anything. I can't say any of that shit. What I can tell you is that you were in alignment with it. Mm-hmm. At some point, you were in alignment with experience that force upon you. I'm not saying you agreed to it. I'm saying you were energetically in a state that allowed you to be susceptible without protection to that type of thing, right? Mm-hmm. And the issue is twofold. It's not just the problem with rapists. Yeah, you got to go figure out what the fuck is going on with that person and anybody like them that shows up in our society. But the second thing is rehabilitation as opposed to just locking them up. Or, you know, being strict. On the other side, if you're going to rape somebody, you get your fucking balls cut off. I'm cool with that. You know what I mean? Like, either go severe or rehabilitate. So either make it right, so this guy can't do that again and lock him up and punish him and let the person, that's what natural law is about. The person who was raped decides, obviously with an intermediary like the court or whatever, or a jury, but that person decides in a real organic world what happens to the person that attacked her. So the victim is the one that gets to decide what happens to the attacker, because that's the only reason that you can balance out that imbalance, that horrible, nasty, controlling, forceful, unwarranted, unwanted experience that victim had. They have to balance that account, and they'll carry that with them in their personal life, their whole fucking life, unless they get that opportunity. And that opportunity is not typically present in our society, right? So the being conscious of the birthing and the conception period would prevent, even with those people who were raped, would prevent the need for abortion in most cases. So what I'm really saying is, our topic obviously is birthing, childbirth, conception, but on any topic, if you go to the root of what's happening, or go back to the root or the source, as opposed to trying to clean up the mess afterwards, if you've got 30 people knocking gallons of milk in glass containers off of the counter, there's no way you can clean each one of those up in time. So, you know, maybe you should put a little barrier up so nobody can knock the fucking milk off the counter. I know that's a silly, random example, but it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, rape is a touchy issue because...
It's touchy, yeah.
You know, you can... some people will fall on the side of blaming the victim.
That's right.
Now, in the universe... In the universe of cause and effect, right? Any woman who, or any person for that matter, that's been raped, in the cause and effect realm, is that not something that they had contracted in some way or another? To
I would say that they contracted
in their body, in their experience.
There's a layer of separation or a veil of separation. I would say that person, for whatever reason, for a certain time period or location of their life, contracted to be susceptible, right? And they still had the free will to be aware to a certain extent of to make that not happen. Yeah, there's fucking exceptions. No, I'm not generalizing for every case. And, you know, we sort of got off topic about it, but it is an important topic, and it did tie into, you know, being aware of conception and intentional childbirthing and, you know, all the other things that are happening. But I'll say this. let's just put it in perspective. Like every time I get upset about anything that goes wrong in my life, which is rare, but it does happen if something I perceive as wrong happens, I instantly go into self-observer mode and I go, hey, buddy, you've been fucking raped your whole life. You have been physically conditioned. You've been socially raped. You've been verbally raped. You've been emotionally fucking raped. You've been mind raped your entire life by every organ of government and every organ and institution of society that you could possibly imagine. Right? So what is this tiny little thing compared to that? And then on the flip side, what is your tiny little experience compared to the whole experience that you've had in all of your bodies and all the different dimensions and all the different realities in this universe and your oversoul and your connection to the source and all of these things that are higher than you that are you? How is this comparing to that? So when you look at it, sort of like, I tell people to do this. If you're frustrated, somebody just pulled in front of you while you're driving, you got a road rage, something like that, just look into your mind. Don't close your eyes while you're driving. Okay, guys? Obviously. But look into your mind and picture the universe. And then pick out a little teeny tiny dot somewhere in that universal picture you have and go, oh, hey, that's me that just got, you know, cut off by some douchebag. Well, I live in a universe with douchebags. I just got to accept that. And maybe I'll just, you know, try to not be in alignment with getting cut off by a douchebag. Okay? It's my language. I use what I want. I don't censor myself. But that's my example for you. So just to wrap it up, we don't have a lot of time left, but I will wrap it up by saying this. Anybody that missed the first half of our show, we talked about immaculate conception. We talk about the first stages of pregnancy. We talk about prospects and negotiations regarding what type of soul is going to connect to that embryo as it develops in the body. We talked about how the first trimester of pregnancy typically is a negotiation period where a miscarriage will happen if the negotiations fail between the mother and the soul, or the parents and the soul, right? Because the father's DNA contributed to that embryo, and therefore that imprint is energetically available for reading. Imagine this soul is just on a Kindle, and it's just reading combinations of DNA. It's like, oh, hey, yeah, yeah, no, swipe left, you know, swipe left, oh, swipe right, you know, to put it millennial terms. So everything that happens to you is for a reason. It might not be your reason, but there is a reason that you were susceptible to being reasoned upon, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So we'll leave you with that. We talked about a little bit of why you shouldn't go to a hospital. We didn't really do the pros and cons. We just sort of took a biased opinion, and rightfully so, that you should probably consider home birthing if it's an option for you. Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into that as far as mental and physical preparation, you know, the type of foods you're consuming, the type of lifestyle you have, your mental, your spiritual connection, your energetic connection to your mate, your understanding of your own body, so on and so forth. So like I said, you know, it's unfortunately the way things are, it's not for everybody.
That's right. Okay, well, I want to thank you for joining me this week, Corey. I'm going to try to get Mike Kerbin, or Confucius, I'm going to try to get him on next week. And so you can definitely call in if you want. Corey, do you remember the call-in number? I don't have it handy. I'm on my phone right now.
I don't have it offhand.
I believe you can just go to bbsradio.com/piercingtheveil, and it's Station 2. If you guys want to call in on Station 2 at 5 p.m. or 5:15 next week, we'll take as many as we can. We'll place you on hold, and we'll have him do some readings.
All
right, I think it's going to be a fantastic thing. And if nobody calls in, no big deal. We'll just have him read you, Corey, and then read me.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I look forward to it.
Cool. Thank you very much for joining us on another episode of Piercing the Veil, and we'll see you next week. Until then, always look within and realize that everything is love.